Royalty in Ruin, Chapter 14, God's Call to Modern Apostates. Through long centuries, the record of Elijah's life work has brought inspiration and courage to those who have been called to stand for the right in the midst of apostasy. For us, it has special significance. History is being repeated. Our age is one of idolatry, as truly as was the one in which Elijah lived. No outward shrine may be visible. Yet thousands are following after the gods of this world, riches, fame, pleasure, and the fables that permit people to follow the inclinations of the unrenewed heart. Multitudes have a wrong concept of God and are as truly serving a false god as were the worshippers of Baal. Even among those who claim to be Christians, many have allied themselves with influences that are firmly opposed to God and His truth. The prevailing spirit of our time is one of unbelief and apostasy. People exalt human theories and place them where God and His law should be. Satan tempts men and women with the promise that in disobedience they will find freedom that will make them as gods. We see a spirit that exalts human wisdom like an idol above divine revelation. People seem to have lost all power to tell the difference between light and darkness, truth and error. They believe that the opinions of a few philosophers, so-called, are more trustworthy than the truths of the Bible. They think that faith, such as actuated Paul, Peter, and John, is old-fashioned and unworthy of the intelligence of modern thinkers. In the beginning, God gave His law to humanity as a means of attaining happiness and eternal life. Satan's hope is to lead men and women to disobey this law. He constantly tries to misrepresent it and belittle its importance. His master stroke has been to attempt to change the law itself so as to lead people to violate its instructions while they profess to obey it. One writer has compared the attempt to change God's law to an ancient mischievous practice of taking a signpost where two roads met and turning it in a wrong direction. This often caused great perplexity and hardship. God set up a signpost for those journeying through this world. One arm pointed out willing obedience to the Creator as the road to life, while the other indicated disobedience as the path to death. But in the evil hour for our race, the great enemy of all good turned the signpost around, and many people have mistakenly taken the wrong way. Through Moses, the Lord instructed the Israelites, "Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." Exodus chapter 31, verse 13 and 17. The Lord clearly defined obedience as the way to the city of God. But the man of sin has changed the signpost. He has set up a false Sabbath and has caused men and women to think that by resting on it, they are obeying the command of the Creator. When the heavens and the earth were finished, God exalted the seventh day, Sabbath, as a memorial of His creative work. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. At the time of the Exodus, God brought the Sabbath prominently before His people. In Egypt, their taskmasters had tried to force them to labor on the Sabbath by increasing the amount of work required each week. But God delivered the Israelites from slavery and brought them to a place where they could freely observe all the instructions of the Lord. At Sinai, God spoke the law and delivered a copy of it to Moses on two tables of stone. Written with the finger of God, Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. And through 40 years of wandering, the Israelites were constantly reminded of God's appointed rest day, because every seventh day the manna did not fall, but the double portion that fell on the preparation day was miraculously preserved. The Lord intended that by observing the Sabbath command, Israel would be reminded of Him continually as their Creator and Redeemer. While they kept the Sabbath in the proper spirit, idol worship could not exist. But if Israel set aside the claims of this divine instruction, they would soon forget the Creator. Yet they rejected my ordinances and did not observe my statutes, and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 16, NRSV. In calling the attention of Judah to the sins that finally brought the Babylonian captivity on them, the Lord declared, "You have profaned my Sabbaths. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads." Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 8 and 31. When Jerusalem was restored in the days of Nehemiah, he challenged the people's Sabbath breaking by asking them, "Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 18. How Christ upheld the Sabbath. During his early ministry, Christ emphasized the binding claims of the Sabbath. He showed reverence for the institution he himself had given. In his days, people had so perverted the Sabbath that their observance of it reflected selfish human character rather than the character of God. Christ set aside the false teaching that had misrepresented him. Although the rabbis followed him with merciless hostility, he went straight forward, keeping the Sabbath according to the law of God. In unmistakable language, he testified of his regard for the law. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets," he said. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. The great enemy of our happiness has made the Sabbath of the fourth commandment an object of special attack. Satan says, "I will work at cross purposes with God. I will set aside God's memorial, the seventh-day Sabbath. I will show the world that the day God sanctified has been changed. I will obliterate the memory of it. In its place, I will establish a day that does not bear the credentials of God, a day that cannot be a sign between God and his people. Through my representative, I will exalt myself. The first day will be praised, and the Protestant world will receive this false Sabbath as genuine. I will be the prince of this world. I will so control minds that God's Sabbath will be a special object of contempt. A sign? I will make the observance of the seventh day a sign of disloyalty to the authorities of earth. Human laws will become so strict that men and women will not dare to observe the seventh-day Sabbath for fear of being without food and clothing. They will join the world in transgressing God's law. The earth will be entirely under my dominion. Through setting up a false Sabbath, the enemy thought to change times and law. But has he really succeeded in changing God's law? He who is the same yesterday, today, and forever has said this about the seventh-day Sabbath: "It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. It is a sign forever." Exodus chapter 31, verse 13 and 17. The changed signpost is pointing the wrong way, but God has not changed. He is just as jealous for his law now as in the days of Ahab and Elijah. Elijah is needed today. But how that law is disregarded. Look at the world today in open rebellion against God. People neglect the Bible and hate truth. Jesus sees his law rejected, his love despised, his ambassadors treated with indifference. His mercies have gone unacknowledged, his warnings unheeded. The temple courts of the human soul have been turned into places of unholy commerce. Selfishness, envy, pride, malice are all cherished. Many do not hesitate to sneer at the word of God. They ridicule those who believe it just as it reads. There is a growing contempt for law and order, directly traceable to a violation of Jehovah's plain commands. Violence and crime are the result of turning aside from the path of obedience. Just look at the nearly universal disregard of the Sabbath commandment. See also the daring wickedness of those who, while enacting laws to safeguard the supposed sanctity of the first day of the week, at the same time are making laws legalizing the liquor traffic. They attempt to force the conscience while lending their approval to an evil that destroys the beings created in the image of God. Satan inspires such legislation. Almost the whole world is following after idols. But the Lord will not always allow his law to be broken and despised without consequences. Skepticism may treat the claims of God's law with joking and denial. The cause of God may hold its ground only by great effort and continual sacrifice. Yet in the end, truth will triumph gloriously. In God's closing work on earth, the standard of his law will be exalted again. False religion may prevail. People may lose sight of the cross of Calvary. Darkness may spread over the world, and the popular current may turn against the truth. But in the hour of greatest danger, the God of Elijah will raise up human instruments to bear a message that will not be silenced. In the places where people have gone to the greatest lengths in speaking against the Most High, the voice of stern rebuke will be heard. Those whom God has appointed will boldly denounce the union of the church with the world. They will call earnestly on men and women to turn from a man-made right to observe the true Sabbath. Fear God and give glory to him. They will proclaim to every nation, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Revelation chapter 14, verses 7 through 10. The world will be arraigned in the courtroom of infinite justice to receive sentence. Today, as in the days of Elijah, the line between God's commandment-keeping people and the worshippers of false gods is clearly drawn. How long will you falter between two opinions? Elijah cried. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And the message for today is, Babylon the Great is fallen. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, 4, and 5. The test that will come to all. The test will come to everyone. People will be urged to observe the false Sabbath. The contest will be between the commandments of God and mere human laws. Those who have yielded step by step to worldly demands and customs will yield to the earthly powers rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment and death. At that time, the gold will be separated from the dross. The distinction will be clear between true godliness and the appearance and tinsel of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliance will then go out in darkness. Those who are not clothed with Christ's righteousness will appear in the shame of their nakedness. Scattered in every land are those who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Like the stars of heaven that appear only at night, these faithful ones will shine out when darkness covers the earth. In Africa, in Europe, in South America, in China, in India, in the islands of the sea, and in all the corners of the earth, God has many chosen ones in reserve who will yet shine brightly in the darkness, revealing clearly to an apostate world the transforming power of obedience to his law. In the hour of deepest apostasy, when Satan makes his supreme effort to cause all, under penalty of death, to receive the sign of loyalty to a false Sabbath, these faithful ones, blameless and harmless children of God without fault, will shine as lights in the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. The darker the night, the more brilliantly they will shine. Elijah could count only one on the Lord's side when he said, I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. But the word of the Lord surprised him. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 and 18. Then let no one attempt to number Israel today, but let everyone have a heart like the heart of Christ, a heart that reaches out for the salvation of a lost world.